is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
China, the People's Republic of China. An announcement by Xi Jinping at the turn of the year. China's economy, writes CNN, grew at least 4.4% in 2022. CNN adds a figure much stronger than many economists had expected, but the current COVID wave may hobble growth in the months ahead. I welcome my colleague and co-host Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, writing at Gatestone Newsweek in The Hill. And we welcome our colleague, Ann Stevenson Yang, author of the new edition forthcoming of China Alone, Return to Isolation. First, Gordon, I come to you. At least 4.4%. What is the scale of the claim that the General Secretary for Life is making to the Chinese people? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. This number is unbelievable, especially when we look at the results for the fourth quarter of last year, which clearly show a contraction. There were problems throughout the year because of COVID and other reasons. I don't think that they can grow 4.4 or more last year, especially because, John, they increased the growth rate for 2021 by 0.3%, making it harder to show growth in 2022. These numbers are completely divorced from reality.
And a very good evening to you. The first I frequently asked question. These numbers are not reliable. What is the origin of the bad numbers we get? Is it Beijing? Is it local? Is it what you'd have to say? Nobody pays attention to the numbers until they make them up. Why is there this inaccuracy year after year?
Hi, John. Hard to know. In this case, it must have been Beijing because it came out quite late in the process. I mean, all of the international banks and the World Bank were saying anywhere between 2 and 3% as late as December 20th. So nothing happened in the last week of the year to make growth surge ahead. And it would have had to surge by like 15%. That wouldn't happen. So, you know, what I do know that at the NBS, sometimes they take the numbers from all the provinces, which tend to conflict, and massage them a bit. So maybe that happened.
The CNN report goes on to say economists had generally expected growth to slump to a rate between 2.7 and 3.3. That's what you're saying, Anne. In other words, the great expectation was for a much smaller number. Is 4.4%, Anne, considered a success? Is that why they would exaggerate it to this level?
Well, I think what it means is that that the policy of trying to squeeze debt out of the economy while still staying stable is gone now, and China has moved back to an investment-driven growth mode. And next year they want to go up to 5%. So this year they have to plausibly come up with a number that's higher than 2, which was what it probably really was.
I see the ends justifying the means. Gordon, you have a question for Ann.
And there has been a lot of money that Beijing has dumped into the economy recently. Do you think that'll have much of an effect in 2023?
Well, it depends on what kind of effect you're looking for. I think that it will not spur new construction or new property sales. And so that's very negative for iron ore, cement, aluminum, all of the things that go into new property. What it will do is permit the developers to complete some of the projects that have already been paid for. But it also increases the indebtedness of the system and kind of stretches this problem out to a longer period.
Evergrande, is that last year's problem now, Anne, or is that still in front of them? The failure of the property developer, the failure to deliver apartments never built to investors who've lost their money. Did they make that go away or is it coming back?
No, they just pretend and extend. But I think that this is a problem that continues to loom. And by the way, Evergrande promised to deliver 600,000 paid for but uncompleted units in 2022, but actually delivered 250,000. So clearly it didn't work for them.
Gordon, you have a question for Anne.
And we're seeing all this money being put into the Chinese economy by the government, as we just talked about. But that must have, when we look at the structure of China, that must have a negative effect on the consumption share of growth. And Chinese leaders have been saying that consumption must be the future of the Chinese economy. So I guess what we're saying is that this is a short-term emergency measure. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that that's true. I think that China has been in this double bind ever since 2009. And the only way they know to drive growth is through investment. And that's the only system that they have. It's the only thing that they can do. So Xi Jinping wanted to change that. He did it in a very ham-fisted way without a lot of nuanced or any nuanced understanding of how economics work. And so it didn't work. They waited. And now this is 180 degree about face.
We come to the virus mentioned in the CNN report, Gordon. The anecdotes are appalling. This is a global catastrophe. Are you hearing the same thing?
Yes. And to put this into context, Airfinity, which is the London-based health research firm, estimates that there are now 9,000 deaths a day in China. And by contrast, the regime is reporting one or two deaths for the entire country per day.
So what we have here is a complete breakdown of the healthcare system, or is it that the healthcare system never much existed, that the people have taken care of themselves for years, but they're now overwhelmed with mortality?
I think it's the first, John. The healthcare system did exist, but what we saw on December 7th when Beijing announced, the National Health Commission announced the COVID rule changes, was essentially not a change in policy, but really a capitulation to the disease, because Beijing just ran out of money and they realized the Chinese people wouldn't put up with it and it was crippling the economy. So China really had no choice but to give up. And that shows the beginning of the failure of the regime. We're not there yet, but we're getting there pretty fast.
And what does this mean for people who have put their savings, and sometimes considerable savings, into apartments that were never built? Is there a way of translating the death rate, especially of the senior members of the economy who have the most to invest and perhaps have spent their fortunes on apartments never built? Does this mean it makes it go away? Or does this mean people inherit the problem and will be back at the Evergrande front doors as soon as they clear the virus? Can you project a little bit about this death rate and this amount of debt?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that people who own unbuilt apartments are preferentially dying. I think that they're two quite separate issues. And I think that this flood of money into the system, I mean, $650 billion in 3 weeks is no small thing. This is going to force a lot of these companies to complete the units so that people can move into them. So that political problem diminishes for now. I don't think that COVID deaths are planned in any way, and certainly not in order to remove this problem.
Gordon, you have a question. We have a little more than a minute.
And what will the effect of COVID this year be on the Chinese economy?
I mean, it's very hard to say. I think that what we're seeing in the Chinese political system right now is already and will continue to be high volatility and unpredictability, and that's never good for investors.
Gordon, back to that 9,000 a day, I also saw from the same report out of London that that number could rise to 25,000 a day. So we're looking at a story that is untold right now. Your understanding of the Chinese Communist Party, the foreign ministry said they reject the offer from the EU for vaccines that would be more effective against what we believe to be is the Omicron spreading very quickly. Did I see that correctly, Gordon, that they rejected an offer of free vaccine?
Yes, they did, John, and they will reject any foreign assistance because it would reflect poorly on the ability of the Communist Party.
So therefore, the regime believes that it's more important to maintain their falsehoods than it is to relieve the suffering of the people. Is that correct?
That's correct. The death of Chinese people throughout the history of the Communist Party has not been a matter of great consequence. I mean, at least to the party.
And Stevenson Yang, author of the upcoming new edition of China Alone, Return to Isolation, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Dutch.